Pardon.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and love. Thank you for your compassion toward us. Thank you for your blessings upon our lives. Thank you for making ways where it appears there are no ways. Thank you for honoring your name in our lives and situations. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers beyond our expectations. Thank you for opening doors that the enemy had closed. Thank you for closing doors the enemy opened. Thank you, Lord, for giving us breakthroughs on every side. Be glorified forever. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the peace, the perfect peace you have given to us. Thank you for the joy and happiness you have given to us. Thank you for increasing our faith and trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for helping us in our helplessness. Thank you for making everything you have created, including every situation, to work together for our good. Be praised forever. In Jesus' name. Thank you for crowning us with your glory and honor. Thank you for healing our sicknesses. Thank you, Lord, for taking away our diseases. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here this morning to lean at your feet and to pray and to seek your face. O Lord, hear us in Jesus' name. We know that you are here among us. And we have great faith that you are going to help us. We have great faith that you are going to touch us and deliver us and revive us and heal us. O Lord, grant unto us our heart desires. In Jesus' name. Help us in every area we need your help this morning. In Jesus' name. Bless us with the fullness of your blessings. this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we are free. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to do a teaching. And after the teaching, we'll go into prayers. And I want us to look at the book of Luke. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. There are a lot of verses here, but we're going to focus more on the healing of a young boy. Yeah, the healing of a demon possessed the boy. And that is in verse 37 to 42. Yeah, Luke chapter 9, verse 37 to verse 42. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, that is a man among the people that met Jesus. He cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my holy child. And lo, a spirit seeketh him, and he suddenly cried out, it feareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly, departed from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Verse 41. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, How long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. Verse 42. And as it was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and lay him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. And healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you can see what happened in this place. This man brought his only tithe to Jesus. Yeah, and he was really desperate for the healing. He was desperate for the healing and deliverance of that child. Yeah, to the point that he had brought the child to the disciples of Jesus, but they couldn't help the child until Jesus himself came into the situation. Now, the first thing we need to take note of in this passage, is the desperation of the father of the child. Yeah, he was really desperate. Though He had sought help from the disciples or the apostles, and he couldn't get the help. Now, if it was some people, they would have given up, and probably they would have returned back home. Yeah, they would feel like maybe God cannot solve this problem. Maybe I'm not qualified of this type of miracle. Maybe I'm not worthy to receive such mercy from God. So sometimes some people would have given up, after they have tried to get solutions to their problems. But this man did not give up. Yeah, even though the disciples couldn't help, he still remained there, waiting for Jesus to come. My question is, are you still waiting for Jesus? Or you have already given hope? I mean, you have already given up hope or given up faith? Yeah, people are quick to make this mistake. They expect men of God to do something. Yeah, they are not expecting Jesus to do something in their lives. They're expecting the men of God to do something. Yeah, it's a two different thing. Yeah, what does the Bible say concerning this? And let us look at Second Chronicles. Their faith in God is more powerful than faith in a man of God. Their faith in Jesus is more powerful than faith in the person that Jesus sent. Yeah, so if your faith is in an ordinary man like you, that faith can fail you. But if your faith is in God and in the power of God, that faith is not going to fail. I'm telling you the truth. So let us look at Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God." Now I want you to take note of that. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. And then what followed was, believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. You can see that believing in the Lord came first. And what you get when every time you believe in the Lord is establishment. He says, so shall ye be established. Now, do you know the meaning of establishment? To be established means to be grounded, to be rooted. It's similar to planting a tree. A tree in a very fertile ground. Such that the tree continue to produce fruit in its season. And then the next thing was, believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. So believing his prophet is a secondary thing. It should follow believing in the Lord. It should not replace believing in the Lord. I hope you're getting me. So the prosperity that comes from believing God's servant is just like the watering of plants. Though the plants have been properly planted, but then somebody comes to water the plant so that the plant will grow well and prosper. But let's say a plant is not planted on a good soil, is not planted correctly and deeply, that plant is not established correctly. Even if somebody watered the plant, it will still die. So that's the difference between establishment and prosperity. So if your faith is not rooted in God, after a while, your faith will die. After a while, that faith is going to die. If your faith is not planted in God, and maybe is only planted in men of God, in servants of God, and because sometimes some people will come to me and then they will, you know, they'll want me to do something as if I am their creator. As if I'm the one who created them. I can discern their heart that you know they want me to kind of perform a magic. Like they want me to just perform something. Do something. Maybe perform a magic and just make something happen. And I wish they could believe in God like that. So if they could believe in a man, and they believe that man can do anything for them, they would have prospered much more, or it would have been more profitable to them if they believed in God that way. So don't replace faith in God with faith in servants of God. So your faith must be in the Lord your God. So it says, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. So your establishment is greater than the prosperity that will come from believing in God's prophet. Because you're going to have a lasting prosperity when you have been really and fully established in the Lord your God. But if you have not been fully and strongly established in the Lord your God, and then you believed in God's servant, where you can just experience some prosperity for a short time, and after that you will experience no prosperity again. Now, there are people in this ministry that they have received different miracles, and they have testimonies. But after they got those testimonies, they never got another one. After they received some miracles some time ago, they couldn't get another miracle again, and yet they have been participating in our programs. Maybe the problem is that they have not really believed in the Lord their God. Maybe they are believing in me, that I can do something for them. Maybe they are believing in something else, who knows? For you to have an everlasting prosperity, don't just believe in the minister of God alone, or in the ministry you belong to. Believe first of all in the Lord your God. And after you have done that, it will be easy for you to now believe in the people that God has sent to help him. And that is when you will really be established. Now, another thing to take note of in, let me say this first. I was ministering in a place not so long, very, very recently. I was ministering in a place, and I was teaching them. I said, do you know that faith in God is greater than the anointing? And any anointed man of God. I said the faith, or how should I put it? The faith in your heart, for instance. I mean, I'm referring to you that is listening to me right now. The faith in your heart is greater than the anointing that can come from any man of God. Yeah, the faith in your heart is greater than any anointing that can come from any man of God. In fact, the faith in your heart can command the anointing from anywhere, even without the person that has the anointing knowing. Now, what I'm saying is that you don't even need, or maybe I should say, you might not even need to officially or physically go to an anointed man of God for prayers before you can command the anointing that is upon that man of God. So your faith in God can command the anointing upon someone to come to you wherever you are, even when that person is not away. I don't know if you understand. I'm trying to say it in a way you will understand. I mean, your faith in God can command the anointing upon someone, maybe upon a powerful man of God or great man of God. Your faith can command the anointing of that person to come to you and help you, even when that person doesn't know about it. When that person doesn't know that somebody somewhere is commanding the anointing upon him or her. Yeah, so even in the absence of the knowledge of that person, I mean the anointed person, your faith can draw the anointing of that person to you where you are. Yeah, and I told them that. And I showed them in the scripture where that happened. And many of you know that story. Yeah, many of you know that story of the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. The woman had been bleeding for 12 years, nonstop. And she had faith in God that if I touch the hem of the garment of this man they call Jesus, I will be made whole. Yeah, and Jesus wasn't aware that someone was planning to touch him. Yeah. So this woman had faith in the person that sent Jesus. He had faith in the source of the anointing. He had faith in God. And of course, he had faith in Jesus too, but our faith in God was greater. So when that was why when he touched Jesus, God authorized the anointing to flow into our body, even when Jesus wasn't aware. So that was why Jesus was shocked. Yeah, and Jesus stood and said, "Who touched me?" Yeah, so you can see that your faith in God can even draw anointing from any man or servant of God in the absence of the knowledge of that servant of God. Yeah. So, faith in God is greater than faith in men of God. It's greater than faith in prophets of God. It is greater than faith in the servants of God or apostles of God. Yeah, and the reason is because when you have faith in God, you are connecting directly to the source of all power. Yeah, because the servants of God that you believe in, they also they are connecting to the source. And they try to bring things from the source and minister it to you. And the source is God. Yeah. So if you connect first to the source, before you now believe in those servants of God. I'm not saying you should not believe in servants of God. In fact, if you don't believe in a servant of God, the anointing on that person will not work for you. It will not work. So definitely you must believe in God's servant. Especially if you want God to use them to bless you. But you must believe in God first. You must believe in God first. And then God will now use his servant for you. Yeah, so the mistake many people are making at this time is they are exalting their faith in men of God above the faith in God. And that is why many times their problems don't get solved. Yeah, so you must have a personal relationship with God that is strong. Yeah, for you to really benefit from the anointing of any man of God. Your own personal relationship with God must be strong. Your faith in God must be strong. So, and that is why in this ministry, much emphasis is on helping people to have a strong personal relationship with God, you know, which is the foundation of a strong faith in God. Unlike some other ministries, we emphasize on the people having faith in the minister, or in the leader of such ministry. Maybe I've noticed, you know, I'm not trying to, I mean, if you have noticed that in this ministry, I do not try to make people believe in me. In fact, I don't even know how to do that. Yeah, but try as much as possible to help you believe in God. Yeah, because that is superior. Yeah, and that is where the victory is. So I pray you will stop making the mistake many Christians are making today. And that is why many of them, they go from one church to another, from one ministry to another, from one prayer mountain to another, and they keep seeking for prophets. Yeah, and they keep seeking for prophecies. Yeah, why? Because their faith is not really in God. Their faith is in servants and men of God. So when this one fails to solve the problem, they go to another one to look for solution. When this other one fails, they go to another one. And this other one fails, they go to another one. If you check the mobile phone of some Christians, you're going to see different contacts of different prophets. Some they will have up to 30 contacts of prophets, 30 phone numbers of prophets. Yeah, so all that they believe in is in those prophets. And many times God will deliberately make sure that none of those prophets they believe in will be able to solve their problems. Yeah, because now they have turned those prophets into their idols. Yeah. What should a real prophet do for you? A real prophet is going to help you to know your God in such a way that your God becomes so real to you personally, and your God begins to speak to you and relate with you one-on-one. That is what a real prophet will do for you. So prophets, as you know, New Testament prophets are to help us to know God in a very real way, just as they knew God in a very real way. You know, prophets, they have a very real relationship with God. Now, when I say real, I'm talking about some of them, they could see Jesus face to face. Yeah, they could see angels face to face. They could hear God's voice very clear and very loud. So they have this real intimacy with God. So what Jesus expects from the New Testament prophet is that they help people to have relationship with Him the same way they have it. I don't know if you're getting my point. The same way a prophet could hear God's voice very, very clear and very loud, and the same way he could believe whatever he have heard from God and follow that voice, even putting all his life on that voice. Yeah, the same way he could do that, God expects that he should train Christians to be able to do the same thing, or to be able to have the same grace. So that is the ministry of the prophet in this New Testament. It's different from the Old Testament prophet, where they couldn't do that. The Old Testament prophet, they couldn't train people to become like them. All they could do is to make people, deliver God's message to those people. That's what they could do. Yeah, and the people had to depend on them because they know they can't hear God directly for themselves. So the people have to continue to go to them to hear from God. That is Old Testament prophetic ministry. Yeah, so if if you want to continue to do what the people in the New Testament are doing, you're going to be making a great mistake. And you're not going to succeed. And you're not going to really benefit from the grace God has given to us through Christ Jesus. So we cannot continue to approach prophets and servants of God the way the people in the Old Testament were doing. Yeah, so it is wrong for you to be going to prophets and asking them for God's message. What is God saying? Yeah, it is wrong to do that in this New Testament dispensation. Yeah, and it is wrong for prophets to also want people to be coming to them to get prophecies, to get visions from God. It is also very wrong. Yeah, it is wrong for any pastor or apostles to desire that people depend on them for whatever spiritual spiritual thing they need. Yeah, it is very wrong. Yeah, so what God wants is ministers in the church according to this New Testament era. What God wants his ministers to do is that they should help the church to know him personally. With the Lord, he wants every minister of God to help Christians, to help the children of God to have a strong personal relationship with him. Yeah. So, and any minister of God that is not doing that, they have failed God. Yeah. And I can see a lot of preachers making that mistake. They want the people to depend on them. Yeah, and not on God. And that is why God could hardly use them to solve the problems in the lives of the people. So if you are a minister of God and you are listening to me right now, and you have been making this particular mistake, you have to change and repent very fast. Because there's no way you will fulfill your ministry if you continue to do that. Yeah, your ministry is to disciple people, to train them. In fact, that is what Jesus did to his own disciples. He did not make them depend on him. He taught them how they can connect with God, how they can connect with God's power by themselves. Yeah. When I say did not make them depend on him, I mean his physical version, his human version. Yeah, you know, even at that time when Jesus was physically here on earth, there was a spiritual version in heaven. So. Jesus was not fully here. He was here, but he wasn't fully here at that time. He was. Because there's no way they could receive the fullness of him. He only showed them a bit of himself. And even that bit of himself, they couldn't believe. We know that he is God. Jesus is God. Even when he was physically on earth, he was God. But he did not even with that, he did not make himself so important that the people will not, you know, people will not be able to pray to God. Even though he was God, he still, you know, humbled himself to give access for the people to connect with God directly. Yeah, if Jesus could do that, every minister of God, he should do the same. So he didn't say, you people don't need to pray to God. Just keep looking at me. Anything you want, just come to me. So, no, he taught them how to have personal connection with God. He taught them things. But even though many of them still did not believe, yeah, but I know that there are people here this morning that will believe in God above every other thing, and so shall it be for you in Jesus' name. Yeah, so my point is that your faith in God is the greatest. And don't let anything take it away from you. And which is also the same with your personal relationship with God is the greatest. And don't let anything or anyone take it away from you. Yeah, it is greater than your faith in men of God. Your faith in God, your personal relationship with God, is greater than your faith in servants of God and relationship with servants of God. I pray that you'll be wise and stop making that mistake. Yeah. And as I said, if you are a servant of God and you are hearing this teaching, don't also make the mistake by desiring people to depend on you more than they should depend on God. If you do that, God will put a curse on your anointing. And you will not be able to solve the problems in the lives of the people. You might solve some problems, but you will not be able to solve a lot of the problems in the lives of the people. Yeah, I pray that we will repent where necessary. I pray that you will repent where necessary and do what is right. You know, I realize that I realized that people get faster solutions to their problems when I show them what to do. When I teach them what to do to get the problem solved, than when I just pray for them to get the problem solved. If you get me, then let me repeat myself. Over the years I have been in ministry, I realized that people get solutions faster to their problems when they follow the things I show them to do, the things I teach them to do, the things I instruct them to do, than when I just pray for them and I do not tell them to do anything. Yeah, and the reason is because God is saying that the latter is how ministry should be done. That is, ministry should be done with the goal, with the aim of building people spiritually. That is how ministry should be done. It should be done with the goal, with the aim of building people spiritually, helping people to grow spiritually, helping people to have to grow in faith, and helping people to have direct relationship with God. So that is the goal of ministry. So if we do ministry with that focus in mind, we're going to see God solve more problems than if you're only telling the people, just believe in my anointing. If you're only telling the people, just believe in my anointing. Believe in my grace. And all your problems will be solved. I hope you understand. So I'm going to continue in the teaching. I don't want to dwell too much on that part. Yeah, we started the teaching from Luke chapter 9. So let us go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're considering verse 37 to verse 42. I've already read it, and I'm not going to be reading the passage again. Yeah, though some of you joined very late. Yeah, but in this passage, we saw a man with a child that is demon possessed, and this man seriously wanted deliverance for his child, because that child was his only child. And he went to the disciples of Jesus for help, and they couldn't solve the problem. But because he was desperate, he waited for Jesus to come. He waited till he would have the opportunity to meet with Jesus. So he didn't just turn back like some of us would do. Yeah, when we have prayed and when we have asked men of God to pray for us and nothing happened. Yeah, some of us, we just lose hope. What about your faith in your God? Yeah, what about your faith in the source of power, in the source of the anointing? Yeah, maybe God himself is looking for your attention. Maybe that is why after his servants have prayed for you, he did not allow the miracle to happen. Yeah, maybe it's because God himself is looking for your attention. That was why he did not allow the prayers of all the pastors you have been to. He did not allow their prayers to work in your life. Yeah, maybe it's because God himself is looking for your attention. Yeah, but many Christians, after they have sought for prayers here, prayers there, and nothing changed, so then they feel like, I don't think God called this person. Some of them would think, I don't think this person has anointing. Yeah, it doesn't have any power to solve my problem. Yeah. That is a very foolish way of thinking. Yeah. Because the ministers or the servants of God, they have no power to solve any problem. And even if they do, God can even stop the anointing on them from working. Yeah. God can stop it. And that is why many preachers that are being used for miracles, they always have cases where they pray for this one, miracle happened, and then they pray for this other one, nothing happened. And then they pray for this one, something happened, and then they pray for another one, nothing happened. So there is no minister of God that don't have such experience. Yeah, they will pray for this, nothing will happen. And then they will pray for this, something will happen. Why? It is God showing them that they are not the one doing it. Yeah, that it is He Himself that is doing it, that they are not the one doing it. Yeah. So if they are the one doing it, then it is no longer God. It is now magic. Yeah, it is now magic. If they are the ones doing the miracles, then it is no longer God. Yeah, then why are you believing more in the person that is not even the one doing it? Yeah, why can't you believe in the one who is the one doing it? Yeah. So if you really believe in the Lord your God enough, you will get the miracles, and you might even get the miracle through an angel. You might not even have to meet with any servant of God. Yeah, I pray that we'll be wise. In Jesus' name. Let us look at the second issue in this passage. You know, I said the first one is the desperation of that man with the demon-possessed child. The man was desperate and he waited for Jesus. So the question is, are you waiting for Jesus even after it looks like everything you have tried to get your problem solved has failed? Are you still waiting for Jesus to come to you and save you? Yeah, that's the first thing. Now, the second issue I want to bring out from this passage is what Jesus said in verse 41. Luke chapter 9, verse 41. And Jesus answering saying, "O faithless and perverse generation." Now Jesus was talking to the disciples. Yeah. And this looked like an insult. Yeah. To them. Yeah. Because Jesus was angry with them. Yeah. He said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation." Do you know what it means to be perverse? To be perverse means that you are opposite of everything that is the will of God. That your life, your action, your nature is opposite. More like you are twisted. Yeah. or like you are crooked. That is, your life is not straight. Your faith is not straight. Yeah, your trust in God is not strong, is not real. Yeah, because if another issue happens that seems to be very serious, you start to lose your trust in God. That is perversion. You know, when you are twisted, or you are just up and down, 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 you are not straight. Yeah, you cannot trust God forever. Your faith keeps jumping up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's perversion. Yeah, and that is being crooked. Yeah, you believe God today, and tomorrow you are doubting again. You trust God today, tomorrow you are doubting again. That's perversion. Yeah, it means you are not in alignment with the will of God. It also means you are opposite of what God is expecting from your life. Opposite of the will of God. Yeah. So that's the meaning of perverse. Yeah. So Jesus said, why are you so faithless and twisted? Yeah, why can't you have a continuous faith? Yeah. I believe Jesus is also saying the same thing to this generation. I believe Jesus is saying, oh, faithless and perverse generation. Of faithless and perverse generation. Yeah, I believe Jesus is angry with this generation. Yeah, because everything we do, everything we think is always opposite of his will for us. We are opposite of the picture he's expecting us to look like. That's perversion. We are opposite of how he wants us to think. That's perversion. Yeah, and that is why we're not seeing changes in our lives. Because we have not really agreed with God in our heart and in our feet. We have not really agreed with God. Yeah, so Jesus did not blame the demon that refused to go, because they actually used the name of Jesus to cast out that devil, but the devil did not go. Yeah, they followed the instruction Jesus has given them on how to cast out devils. And after they did that, the devil still did not go. So you can do everything that the Bible have revealed concerning casting out devils, concerning getting promises of God come to pass, or getting blessings from God. You can do everything and yet nothing will happen, because there is still something missing. Yeah, you can pray, you can fast, you can pray all kinds of prayer points, and yet nothing will happen because something is still missing, because you are still perverse. And you are still faithless. Yeah. Yeah, some of you believe in your emotions more than you believe in God. You believe in how you feel more than you believe in God. Then why should God work for you? Why should God help you? Yeah. So you believe as long as you are feeling in a certain way, it means certain things. I don't know what it means to you. I don't know what the things you feel means to you. And then you so much believe what you feel more than what the Word of God says. If you are believing your feelings and emotions and your own human senses more than what God says, then why should God help you? If you are believing in the symptoms, the signs and symptoms of your sickness more than what the Word of God says, then why should God help you? Yeah. So faith means that you believe against the reality. That's the meaning of faith. Your reality is telling you that you are sick. You are possessed, or you are oppressed, or you are in captivity, you are in bondage. But then your faith is saying, no, I am not. I am healed. I am free. I am not in bondage. Even though you are still feeling that you are sick, but faith is saying, I am not what I am feeling. I am different. Yeah. And as you sustain that faith, eventually what you are feeling will go. Yeah, though I don't expect people to share testimonies until their faith has prevailed. Yeah, but I always tell them that sustain this faith. And in that faith to prevail, like some people, they come and testify that they are no longer HIV positive, but they have not yet gone for the test. Yeah, so I will tell you, go and do the test. Yeah, and in fact, I can tell you to do the test several times, to be sure that your faith has prevailed, because I know that your faith will prevail over the HIV. Yeah, so you can keep quiet. You don't have to testify, even when you start seeing improvement. But sustain the faith until you get the healing and the deliverance. And when you have confirmed it, then you come out and share the testimony, so that the faith of others will be encouraged. Yeah. Why? Because we know, and I know, that faith changes things. I have seen it countless times in my own life. Our faith changes things. Yeah. But how will your faith change things? The first thing you have to do is that you have to see yourself as you have already gotten the healing. Maybe you are in lack of money. Maybe you are facing an issue with poverty, and the important things you need you don't have. You have to see yourself as you already have a lot of money. Yeah, and in fact, you have to speak it. You have to tell people, you have to say, very soon, you know, I'm going to buy my own house. You know, very soon, I'm going to buy my own car. Even though you have not a single cent in your pocket. So you have to speak it. You have to demonstrate it even when you don't really have anything. So that is how to make our faith change your life. So you don't identify with the negative reality that is happening to you, or that you are being faced with. You start from the end. That's how to make faith work. Start from the end. What do I mean by the end? Start from what you are trusting. You know, start to see yourself as that thing you are trusting God for. I don't know if I get my point. Let's say, for instance, you are trusting God for an husband. Yeah. You're trusting God and you will have your own family. You get married and you will have kids. Then start seeing yourself as you're already married and you already have kids. Yeah. That is how it will now happen in the physical. And until it happens, you don't stop seeing yourself as that. Except God now come to you and say, I did not create you to get married. My plan for you is not to get married. Fine. If God now come to you and tell you that, then maybe you can stop. But until God say that, you have to continue to see yourself in the picture of what you want. Now, if the people in false religion, if the people in idol worshiping, if they know how to do this thing and it's working for them, many of them have faith more than us. If their faith is working for them. In fact, even demons, they have faith. And their faith is working for them. Then why is it so difficult for we who have the Almighty God behind us and even inside of us? Why is it so difficult for us to have such faith that is able to change our situation? Yeah, so Jesus taught the disciples, he said, when you pray, believe that it has already happened. And then it will now happen. Go and read your Bible. That is how Jesus taught the apostles to pray. He said, when you pray, believe that it has already happened. Not that it will happen. Yeah, there's a difference between it has happened, you know, and it will happen. Yeah, it's a two different thing. So Jesus taught them, say, whenever you pray, even if you are praying for someone with a very serious disease, you know, such that the person is even about to die, or even if the person has died, immediately you have prayed, just believe that it has happened. And that is how it will happen. Yeah, so that is how to have faith. So you believe it has already happened. And then you continue to call it forth into manifestation. Till it will now happen in the physical. Yeah. So after you have prayed, you believe it has happened, and then you continue to pray. Yeah, according to Luke chapter 18, Yeah, after you already believe that it has happened, though the situation still looks like nothing has happened, then you now continue to say, this thing that have happened, happy, you know, because I know God have done it, so I'm telling you to happy. So you look at your body, you say, God have healed me, so my healing appear now. You start talking to your body. Yeah, I start speaking the healing. You say, healing appear now. Appear now because I've been healed already. So happy. Yeah. And as you continue to say that and to thinking and to saying, and then maybe you calm down a little. After some hours, you go back again. You keep saying it. I'm telling you, that is how it's going to happen. Yeah, so that is the apostolic thing that changed the world in the early church, to the point that the people call them, they say, these men, they have turned the world upside down. I pray that you will have this type of faith. Another name I used to call this type of faith is angelic faith, because that is how angels have their faith too. Or how should I say, that is the same faith that is in angels. You know, I've met a lot of angels alone. Yeah, I've interacted with a lot of them. I've encountered a lot of them. Yeah. So I realized that this faith I've just described to you, that is the same faith they also use to operate. So there is no angel that will tell you that God cannot do anything. Because it's not in their mind, or they are not programmed that way. Yeah, they are never programmed to think. They don't even think that what they want God to do, that it will not happen. They don't even think it. Yeah, so I pray that you learn this type of faith. So that was what Jesus was rebuking the disciples about. He was rebuking them for not having the kind of faith that could change any situation. Yeah, that was why he said, why are you people so faithless and perverse? I want every one of you to start demonstrating this faith, not only for your whole life, but because God also wants to use you to change the lives of many people out there. God wants to use many of you to heal sick people, to raise dead people, to set the captives free. So if you learn this faith, you're not only learning it for your own life, you are learning it even for others' sake. Because by doing so, you will become an instrument God will be using mightily to do great miracles at this time. Yeah. So let us be faithful. Yeah. Let us be full of faith. Don't be faithless. Be faithful to God's word. Don't believe God's word as it is. Don't try to think it. How is it going to happen? forget how it's going to happen. You just believe God as, you know, believe His word as it is. Yeah. And pray. And after you have prayed, believe it has happened. And after you open your eyes and you see that nothing has changed, then start to call that thing into manifestation. Yeah. Begin to say, I believe this thing has happened. So in the name of Jesus, I call you into manifestation. Let me round off with this. I think I've shared this story before of a revival that happened in Nigeria some years ago, and how this man of God would gather some people together. Yeah. Intercessors. Yeah, he will gather some intercessors together. And he will tell them, this is what we are going to pray for. This is what we want God to do for us and for this generation and for mankind. And we are going to pray until we are sure that God has done it. So how do they know that God has really done it? Usually they would get a bucket. Yeah, they would get a bucket and they would fill up the bucket with water. And they would put the bucket of water in their midst. All of them, they would surround that bucket of water. Yeah, they'll put the water in their midst. And then they will make a covenant that we're going to pray that God do this thing in the lives of people and in nations and all over the world. Yeah, and we're going to pray until we are sure that God has done that thing for people and for nations. Yeah, and we're going to be sure that God has done that thing is until this water we have put in our midst begin to boil. Like, you know, like the way you put water on fire. And then after some time, the water starts to boil. So they will tell themselves that we are not going to stop this prayer. We are not going to leave here until we are sure that God has answered our prayer. And how we want to be sure is that we want to see this water in the bucket start to boil. And I'm telling you, they would pray. Who knows how many hours, who knows how many days. They would pray until that water starts to boil. I mean, it would be boiling so hard. It is like the time of Elijah. When Elijah said, they got answered by fire. Shall be the Lord. Yeah. And those other people, they were praying for fire. Nothing came. And then Elijah came, and then fire came literally. So who tell you that God cannot show up literally? Yeah, God can show up literally. It's just that we have not really thought into that point. Yeah, I don't know if you're getting my point. When I say literally, I mean literally. Yeah, God can move things literally. I mean, you see it with your physical eyes. And you see God move something. Yeah. God can do much more than that. So these men, they would pray so hard and the water begins to boil. And at that point, they will shout hallelujah and they will stop the prayer. And that was why a lot of mighty things happened in their time. Yeah, because they were men of faith and strong prayers. In fact, some of them, while they are doing those prayers, they would disappear. Literally, they would vanish and they would appear in another country. they would appear in another country, praying for people in that country. And after they have prayed and they have set those people free, they would leave that country and they would appear again at their initial place. A lot of things those people saw. Why? Because they were men of faith and strong prayers. What is wrong with your own faith? I'm going to stop here. We're going to pray. I want you to talk to God. You're going to see Holy Spirit. Help me to strengthen my personal walk with God such that my faith life can increase. So Holy Spirit, help me to strengthen my personal walk with God so that my faith life can increase. Open your mouth and pray like that. I believe you're praying. So Holy Spirit, help me to strengthen my personal walk with God, my personal relationship with God. Help me to amend it if I've gone wrong. Help me to amend it. Yeah, because if you have disobeyed God and you have not repented, you have sinned and you have not repented, you have to amend your relationship with God. You have to repent. Yeah, so that God can come to you again. So Holy Spirit, help me to amend, help me to strengthen my personal relationship with God so that my faith can rise. So that my faith can rise in the name of Jesus. Help me, Father. Help me to give up everything to fix my relationship with God. Help me to sacrifice everything so as to fix and strengthen my personal relationship with God. Help me to separate from everything so as to fix and amend and strengthen my personal relationship with God. Help me to disconnect from every distraction. Help me to discipline myself so as to fix and strengthen my personal relationship with God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, do you know that? I think I've said this before as well. Do you know that in a public gathering, God would visit, or God would love to visit people that have that have been passionately seeking Him privately.
Right.
Before you would visit others. Yeah, in a meeting. Yeah, in a church meeting. God would like to visit people that have a strong secret place with Him first, before He would visit the others. Yeah. So don't put your hope in corporate anointing if you have not really done a lot of work in your secret place with God. Like some people, they only pray when there is a prayer program. And when they really pray fervently. But on their own, they hardly pray even 20 minutes, 30 minutes. But when there is a program, then they can pray. Don't think that corporate anointing is going to work for you. Yeah, even if it will work, it will only change a very small thing. Yeah. So before you expect that God will visit you in a meeting, in a prayer session, in a prayer meeting, in a public gathering, in a church program, before you expect that God will visit you at that point, make sure you have been seeking God passionately in your secret place. Make sure you have been spending hours seeking God passionately. Yeah, and that is how God will now move through the corporate anointing in a public meeting. Yeah, to now perfect what you have started with you on the private space. Yeah, so you are going to pray. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, revive my prayer life. Revive my prayer life. Such that I could by myself pray for a long time on my own without getting tired. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Yeah, begin to pray like that. The Holy Spirit revive my prayer life. It is easy for God to do it. Even through the fasting, we are currently doing in this ministry. God can use this fasting to revive your prayer life once and for all. And you will no longer be weak in your personal prayers. The Holy Spirit revive my prayer life. That I could by myself on my own pray for many hours, such that I could by myself and on my own pray until things change. Holy Spirit, revive my prayer life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. And then the last prayer point before I'll be praying for you and on your water. I want you to pray that God will use you to solve problems in your generation. The fact that you are part of this ministry at this time, is a sign that God has great plans for you. In fact, the fact that you are here at this time and you are hearing my voice is already a sign that God has great plans to use you mightily to change nations and to shake the world. Yeah, because God did not send me to just have ordinary members. Yeah, God sent me to have extraordinary members, to raise supernatural people, people that will walk in power, people that will demonstrate power, people that will change their generation, their generations. That is what God called me to do. So he didn't call me to just have normal members, people that will just come and receive blessings and receive miracles and then they will go. That is not what God called me to do. That's not the vision of this ministry. It's not to have some just usual members, casual members that just come around and maybe they got what they want, or maybe they didn't get anything and then they just leave. No. He wants every one of you to be supernatural, extraordinary. And that is my heart, a desire for every one of you. So you're going to pray. You're going to raise up your right hand. You're going to say, Father, I am available. I am passionate. I am determined for your use, for you to use me mightily at this time. Empower me now. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Say, Father, I am available. I am passionate. I am hungry. I am determined. I am desperate for your use. Empower me now and use me for your glory. Pray this prayer very well. I don't know if this prayer point is part of the 504 prayer point I gave you. If not, write it down somewhere and continue to pray with the whole of your heart every day. Begin to say, Father, I am desperate. Yeah, I am passionate. I am hungry. I am thirsty. I am determined. I am ready. Empower me now and use me for your glory. Let this prayer point continue with you even after the program right now. Pray until you get that power, that empowerment from above. Continue to pray. Say, Lord, empower me. Use me to solve the problems in my generation. Use me now. Use me to transform lives. Use me to transform lives. Use me for your glory. Use me to set nations on fire for you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Father, we are grateful for this moment spent in your presence. Thank you for the things you have shown us from your scriptures. And from several issues and examples we raised during the teaching. Thank you for showing us how we should have faith in you and how faith in you is superior to faith in your servant and prophet. Thank you, Father, for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you show your people mercy. Everyone here, Father, make them candidates of your mercy. In Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you step into their situation as you did in the passage we read in Luke chapter 9, verse 37 to 42. As you did in that passage, O Lord, step into the situation of your people and help them in Jesus' name. Even the problems they have tried all their best to solve and couldn't solve. Even the problems they have gone, they have sought the help of many servants, many of your servants to fix for them, but they couldn't get it fixed. Oh Lord, intervene and fix the problem now. Fix the problem now. In Jesus' name. I pray for you that the hand of God shall come upon you. Before the end of this 40 days fasting, the hand of God shall come upon you and you shall be empowered and you shall be ordained. And you shall be anointed for a great use at this time in the name of Jesus. The spiritual gift that you have not manifested before, you shall have them. Before the end of this 40 days fast, in Jesus' name, the kind of spiritual abilities you have never experienced or had before, you shall have them before the end of this 40 days fasting, in Jesus' name. The kind of personal revival and personal spiritual awakening that you have not gotten before, you shall get it. All your spiritual senses shall be activated by the power of God right now in Jesus' name. I pray on your water that this water shall become God's power. It shall become God's fire. It shall become the blood of Jesus. And it shall do terrible operations against your enemies. In Jesus' name. Through this water you shall get your healing and deliverances and breakthroughs and victories. in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You can't take the water now. Especially if you are drinking it. You cannot take it until after you have broke your fast. Remain blessed.